Thank you for inviting me here. Today's my topic would be this topic. Actually, yesterday, if you look some one of symposium, and Jen Frankenberg is talking about drainage recapture reuse, but he's talking about many try to reduce the nutrient loss. This one not only the talking about reduce the nutrient loss. If you really think about it, you know, from our climate is changing, and especially we're in southwestern Ontario, close to the Lake Erie area. And the problem is when you got getting more drought, and right away you got crop problem, production problem. So that's the first thing you have to realize. Somehow you couldn't get the water. You have to some doing the irrigation. Where do you get water? So, but in our climate, and if you look at this, although we say that the drought occurred, but if you look at the total rainfall, it's distribution. The rainfall in the growing season is not enough, but in off-season, you still have plenty of rainfall. So somehow you can capture that rainfall during the off-season. Then you can reuse the water. That's where exactly we try to do that. Not only that, because when you're doing that in there, in the drought, when the drought occurs, and you got a lot of problem in terms of nutrient, you know, stay in there. So when you got heavy rainfall in the off-season, that's where flush a lot of nutrient out. But this one, we're going to use the different system in here, try to address this problem. The way it is, as I mentioned, southwestern Ontario, our rainfall is about 800, 700 millimeters, plenty. But summertime is just not enough. Wintertime, actually our winter in the, Minnesota is different because we do not have much snow. So a lot of time in November, December, January, and February and March, a lot of rainfall. 70% of that runoff come from that time. So we capture that in there, and during the summer we could use it. So we call the drainage capture and recycling. And the objective is, as I mentioned, very important. First things, the first order is for the grower. You have to increase the yield, no water. So therefore, this water capture, you can recycle and do the irrigation. But main thing, because you capture that in there, crop uptake the nutrient. Therefore, you would improve the water quality. You're not going to have that nutrient leaching out of the crop we use it. So I'm going to present some of that data in there. And if you look at some of our climate, as I said in here, that's generally is the case. Potential evaporation, this is a stress. That's normal case. This is actual evaporation. This is rainfall. So there's a period in here. There's always water deficit. Even you got plenty of rainfall in there. For example, in here, if you look at here for the, you know, when I mentioned that it's getting, you know, this is the actual rainfall from 1940 all the way to about 1990, suddenly they dropped very quick. So we're in this level. So basically this is most of the time in the summertime. It's dry, it's not enough water. And this is a deficit. And we have a very sophisticated setup our area because we try to measure the surface and subsurface runoff. And it's a Brookston clay soil, and we always have subsurface tile. And that tile design originally, yes, you try to drain the water out during the early spring and the fall. But unfortunately, that's permanent setup right down below. Summertime, you don't want to drain the water out. You want to keep the water. So we use a controlled drainage. And also because we do a detailed monitor, so we have 32 auto samplers capture every single surface runoff, subsurface runoff, all year round, and we're doing the water balance in there. We give you some of, and from our, this is long term, almost 50, 60, 100 years of balance. We found that out in our area. Evapotranspiration 55%, surface runoff 8% from this sophisticated measurement. Tile runoff 30%, and soil water storage 7%. This is where the one we want to capture, subsurface tile in here, 30% in here. So if you look at here, our rainfall from 800 millimeter, and the 55% transpiration, that's a come up to you. Runoff surface 64%, 64 millimeter. This is the big one in here, tire, 240 millimeter. I'm going to illustrate that. In 1999, as I mentioned in there, because for prolonged drought, and a lot of people that want to irrigate, they could not get water. They use the groundwater. So we dig the reservoir in here. And in 1999, when we in the fall, we dig the reservoir, bone dry, and by spring. And this is the area, the reason we need to know the area. The area I want to irrigate is, I use a 0.13 about hectare. And because of depths in here, from the depths, I know how much water I will storage. Because when you build a reservoir, you have to depend on what, how much water you want to capture, how much you want to irrigate. So it can be big, could be small, could be deep, and it could be narrow. That's all depend on. If you have very detailed water balance, you can actually find out exactly what kind of size you want. And this is, as I mentioned, 1999, very dry, and in 2000, and just 6 months after that, all this water come from the drainage, not from the rainfall. Okay, so that. And this area, we capture about 2.7 million liter of water. And we have experiment site here. This is about 0.7 hectare field. We have a separate two site. And this is actually the reservoir we try to capture. And if you calculate the area in here, annual rainfall 800, and the area is 0.7. And we based on the 30% of subsurface rainfall you want to capture, that's exactly this, you get 2 million of water, and this I build this one's about could collect about 2.7 million. That the reason I build this site is because of using this, I want to irrigate this land in here. But if you want to irrigate bigger one, you can do that, and also you can build several different ones in here. And this is again, we're using the tipping bucket rain gauge to collect all the water, and also we have auto samples doing the surface runoff, subsurface data measurement in here. This is the reservoir we built. And this is very interesting. Also, you have to get the idea what the evapotranspiration, our evapotranspiration during the summer, potential evaporation, 5 millimeter per day. And the area is 0.7 hectare. If you look at that, all the water required, the 35, the daily water required is about, it's this in here. And the reservoir holds about 2.7 million liter. And this amount of water we had in there, based on the 5 millimeter, we could irrigate 77 days, would have no problem at all. So basically, it's very simple. And we, when in 1999, we designed this, we knew it was going to be very dry. But once we get that in there, for 5, 6, 7 years, that reservoir never dry out. We're using that to irrigate it and increase the yield quite a bit. And also, I'm going to show you the water quality as well. This is the irrigation one. And sorry, I jump around here. And when I say this just show you that, this crop being irrigated. But also I want to illustrate in here. So the people wonder, thinking build a reservoir and that you're going to lose the land. For example, you have 10 hectare land, you build 1 hectare. So how are you going to convince a grower to do that? And you can convince a grower to do it from the yield. So if you have a 10 hectare without irrigation because so dry, what kind of yield you would get? I got 9 hectare. 10 hectare, took 1 hectare field, build a reservoir. And a 9 hectare field with the irrigation, if your yield is going to be more than your 10 hectare without irrigation, I think that's pretty easy to convince the grower. You could really, it's not a problem to sacrifice 1 hectare field. And this is what exactly I'm going to show you. This is actually the soybean. And use a 10 hectare field, and using at that time prices, that's 1 hectare field total yield. 10 hectare in here, this is the total amount of yield that we get. And in term of average soybean yield, $294 per ton. I don't know whether now, this was calculated quite a while ago. Doesn't matter what you use that calculator in there, this total, you would get that kind of money. So if you irrigate it, 12% increase, you're already almost equivalent. You've got 20% yield increase, you're already more than your 10 hectare field. 50% increase, you already quite a bit. And soybean, we got 50% yield increase. Corn, we increased about 99%. This is a corn, you got even a better. So this is just a rough calculation. Everybody could calculate it. And this is what irrigation response and non-irrigation. And this is irrigation corn size, drainage, free drainage, non-irrigation size. And the corn year, as I mentioned, from that 4-year study, every year we increase. This is regular drainage, no irrigation in here. This is a controlled drainage study irrigation, same year. Look at the all year increase. Average is about 90% yield increases in soybean and corn. Soybean, this is the same thing, free drainage. And this controlled drainage study irrigation. And soybean year, same thing, is about 50% increase. And this is a little bit wet year. But even that, we had about 10, 15% year increase. I mention all that in there. That's the first order, because in order to convince a grower, and that's first thing you want to do, make sure the grower could at least improve their yield or increase their yield. Now this is another benefit in here. With controlled drainage, you can see the tile. This is subsurface. Dissolved reactive P, dissolved unreacted P, and all that. This is every single one is less. Controlled drainage is really sort of, you know, the reason you got less is because of flow, right? You control the flow. Flow time concentration. Flow you already reduced quite a bit. That's why you can reduce. And this particular one in here is, we're talking about dissolved P. Then you look at the total, particular P and total P, the same thing. And particular P actually is even more. And because we are the clay soil, so that particular P from subsurface, we could reduce it up to probably 30 to 40%. But one problem in here, it's not a big problem. You have to realize that we have to consider the whole balance. When you have a controlled drainage sub-irrigation, you reduce the subsurface flow, but at the same time, you could create a little bit of surface flow. And not everywhere you would have that. The reason we would have that, our tiles are only at 70 centimeter depth, not like most of you guys, 1.2 meter, some even deeper. And our tiles are not very deep. And of course, that's because the engineering, when they calculate the tile depths based on the soil, our brushstone clay soil, and also our climate, and that's why they put in that depth. So if I got 70 centimeter, I really do not have much room to control. So I do control, put in about 20 centimeter above. So I almost hypothetically move my tile from 70 centimeter to about 40 centimeter. And when you move that in there, you put the, you know, control the water in there, your soil moisture is high. If heavy rainfall coming here, then you're gonna create some surface runoff. So when I normally reporting, you know, what kind of a phosphor reduction is about 12% total, but that I'm talking about including increase some of surface one. But if I only talk in subsurface, that total will increase, would decrease up to about 20-30% from this kind of setup here. And this is, we're talking about commercial scale now, and in our area, Leamington, we have a lot of horticultural crop, and the same thing, they need the irrigation, because the tomato even more, you know, realize that they need water because the cash crop, without water, they're not going to get any very good, you know, money. So they're very keen, try to, you know, somehow, how could they get the water in here? So Ontario government, they, you know, in 2003, they sort of give the incentive. They say, you know, if anybody dig the reservoir in there, they will get some subsidy in there. And so therefore, there's a lot of people try to, you know, have that reservoir built. And they using that water, capture the water again through the tile. And during the spring, of course, they're not like I do it in here, directly linked to there. So the spring, when they're in the ditch where they're flow, they put the pump in there, they can pump into the reservoir, keep it in there. But that changing, because we're close to Lake Erie, and that everybody said you should be able to tap into the Lake Erie to get the water. So eventually, they actually tap to the Lake Erie. And of course, they have to go through the environmental assessment. And the builder stuff right in the Lake Erie, tap the water for the Lake Erie. Again, that's cooperation with all the tomato grower and the Ontario government, and they help to build that system in there. I'm going to show you a little bit, but this is what is a commercial reservoir. And you know, this is the early spring, and when the late summer, all been used up because they use it for drip irrigation or sprinkle irrigation, whatever irrigation required. And this is so the drip irrigation, no irrigation. It's a bit different. You have to irrigate it in our area there. And again, this is interesting. The loamy sandy soil, loamy or sandy soil. The difference between drip and non-irrigation is a bit different. And I convert that to money. And per hectare, you could have anywhere over about 1,000 to about 4,000 benefit between irrigation and non-irrigation per hectare. This is loamy, this is a sandy soil. Even clay soil, you can get up to, you know, 5,000. Clay soil, the drought actually is better, because when I say better is during the fall, because otherwise when fall is very wet and the machine cannot get in, now they can get into the harvesting. But summer, if they have water drip irrigation, you can get very good production in there. So axis. So this is again from production point of view, and from Nutrien point of view, the same thing. They, you know, with a drip, they always have a better, you know, Nutrien NMP sort of a higher efficiency. So the benefit that I already described it previously. So this is just a closed loop system control drain sub-irrigation for the field crop, and this is for horticulture crop. Thank you. Yes.
But although the high nitrogen and high phosphorus, and you know, if you using that recycled water, probably you may have a nutrient benefit.
Exactly. Yeah, I did not calculate. That's why I'm saying, if you really want to calculate, you got fertilizer to save in there. Yeah, you put the nutrient back. I'm not even at that portion in there. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And what about the? I'm just curious about your opinion about salinity issues. Also, you may have a really expect a high nitrogen and phosphorus also, but however there is some the other salt is maybe high.
Salinity, yes. If you have the problem salinity, this would be a problem. We do not have that in there. As I say, even our rainfall shortage, but there's a period in there that flush enough. It's not like we got a 750 millimeter rainfall. If you only got 200, 300, yes, you're going to have that problem in there. You know, when you do not have enough actual rainfall to flush the, you know, that actually salt. But again, because the water we have in here collect from this drainage, the salt content is very low. It's not like, you know, you dig the well down well below and get that salinity. So the salinity, in this case, not a problem. It could be a problem if in the area, if the water, you have a high salt. Pathogen? The water you directly come from the field, from your actual field. So it could be a problem, but it doesn't seem to have a problem in our area. Possible, I'm not saying you would not have, but that doesn't seem to be the case unless you had problem in your field and had that in there, you may have to. But in this case, in our case, I know we do not have that problem.